with actual fuck.
Big date. This is my first time going on a date since I started presenting.
Hi.
Hey.
She had a date with a chaser.
She had no right rejecting you like that. They should know their place.
What is it, another alt-right circle jerk?
Every skinhead and incel in town is running around with a tiny little heart on.
Chris! Who were they? What the fuck did they want?
I don't know, they followed me.
Dead men don't rape!
How many of them are there?
There's definitely more than us.
No harm in cracking some fascist skulls to see what's inside. Women are dying. This is my body. My body is mine. Don't belong to the government. And rapists are all wrong.
Never fuck with queer filmmakers.
Welcome to the Station of Decapitation. Without Your Head, I'm Nasty Neil, and I'm joined by Alice Mayo McKay, co-writer and director of T-Blockers, coming out March 5th, which is today or tomorrow, depending on when you're listening to this. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. For people not aware yet, can you give them an idea of what T-Blockers is about?
Yeah, so it's kind of a no-budget trans horror film mixed with, I don't know, like a hangout coming-of-age film about parasitic alien men and these like queer people fighting bigots and just navigating life. Yeah.
Yeah, that same old movie, no. But was there a particular inspiration for the film?
I mean, I was inspired by a couple of different filmmakers, and especially the part with the narrator and the Cryptessa, that was kind of, I don't know, taken from like Bela Lugosi and Glenn and Glenda by Edward. And the other kind of parts were just like inspired by, you know, Gregor Araki's like Doom Generation and kind of that colorful kind of queer, you know, storytelling mixed with like genre elements, and Kevin Smith's Mall Rats a little bit, you know, with like the hangout kind of stuff and friendship. Yeah, just a couple different films and things thrown in.
I'm glad you said actually Ed Wood, because I wrote that in my notes when I was watching. I was like, gave it a very Ed Wood feel, the narration. And who played that part? And, you know, how did you find like the perfect person to play that role?
So that was Et Cetera, Et Cetera. And she was in Drag Race, the Australian version. So I worked with her a little bit before, and like we would hang out occasionally when I was in Sydney. And then, yeah, I just thought she was great because not only she's like a drag queen who's like done, you know, the RuPaul television circuit, but she'd also gone to film school herself and, you know, was a big, you know, horror and film fan. So she had all those references and she like understood like where I was coming from as a filmmaker as well. So that was great.
And Ed Wood himself, you know, even in the Ed Wood movie, it's always been like played off as comedy that he wore, you know, women's underwear and stuff. But, you know, really a person way ahead of his time as far as, you know, just a social person. So Edwin himself, like, is he an inspiration for you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's quite a, you know, beautiful story, despite, you know, how his life kind of ended and took a turn. But, you know, I think being more back in that kind of generation and, you know, making Glenn and Glenda, just that film alone compared to, you know, his other like novels and all of his films and stuff, just that film alone, I think is such a big part of like culture. And yeah, I think that's crazy inspirational.
You know, there's early on in your film, when the characters are talking about like trans filmmakers from before, and there's this kind of line like, oh yeah, and they killed themselves like back in the 90s. Do you have any like a mentor or anyone who's that you've talked to personally or anything about being a gay filmmaker, a trans filmmaker?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know, I'm kind of, a lot of the collaborators I work with, I'm really lucky. You know, Vera Drew, who's doing People's Joker, she's now editing my next film, but, you know, she's someone who's been in the industry a lot longer than I have, and yeah, I look up to her. And there's Louise Weird, who's like an independent filmmaker in Canada as well. All these different trans women who I'm able to connect with, you know, thanks to social media and stuff. So I've been quite grateful and fortunate in that regard.
Now, the movie itself, like a big theme is like fighting back against trolls in a way. How about yourself dealing with, because I'll be honest, as soon as I posted you're coming to the show, I posted the trailer. Most people are excited, but I did get some people on YouTube, you know, saying negative things. How do you yourself like deal with that?
I mean, I don't really think there's, you know, a way to deal with that. I think, you know, I guess it kind of comes in circles. I mean, you can try and ignore it, but I think especially there's like an intensity to it that I think is, you know, always going to affect you a little bit. So I just, you know, try to stay off, you know, the internet as much as I can. And, you know, I'm thankful I got to like travel with this film at festivals like Outfest and stuff like that, which, you know, a lot of the audiences were trans and queer and they were able to talk to me in person, which I quite liked a lot more than, you know, this online kind of reactions and stuff.
Yeah, that's probably good advice for everyone. Stay off the internet for a lot, but and go to festivals. I'm a big fan of festivals. And I know you played at Salem Film Fest. I'm in Massachusetts. You know, a lot of your films have played there. What is that film itself? How important is that to you?
Yeah, I mean, I love playing festivals and I love Salem so much. And I think that was a really beautiful place to kind of premiere the film, you know, having it with a trans, you know, woman who's like running the festival. And also being so, Salem is so like wildly queer friendly and trans friendly. So I just think that reception was great. You know, it was like a sold out screening and yeah, it's just really special.
Do you get to go to a lot of the festivals, you know, outside of Australia?
So T-Luck is the first one that I was able to like to travel with festivals, which I was really lucky for, and I'm hoping to do so, you know, with my next ones as well. But yeah.
Do people, like the audience, do they take to the movie differently depending like what country you're in or what country it plays?
I mean, I think America has been like the most like vocal and like, I don't know, like when you're in the room watching with them, I think there's more like a visceral reaction as opposed to, I think Australian audiences are very like, especially Australian festival audiences, a little bit like tamer, as in like, they just kind of sit there. Like they like the film, but it's not like, you know, in America, it's just kind of like let loose, especially like the horror conventions. They're like, you know, make noises and like, I don't know. It's just like more of a fun vibe for me as well.
Well, I would think, first of all, like I think horror and comedy are the best movies anyway to watch with an audience, but T-Blockers, I think, would be a cool audience experience because there's a lot of great visuals and there's violence and, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the look of the movie? Because I love, you know, you got the big bright greens and purples, and then that really contrasts with like the sludge, like the black sludge, which kind of represents the bigotry and evil in the movie.
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to use color as a character. So that was kind of like from the get-go. I mean, when the characters are in their bedrooms and like at the queer clubs, that's like a very like safe space for them. And like, it's a very like by-lighting, you know, colorful kind of safe space for them. And then it's like the date and her, you know, her cinema work life is this more like a neutral kind of like washed out kind of look. And then, as you mentioned, like when you get to like the bigots and stuff like that, it's this green and this darker colors that kind of brings out like the sleaziness of the situation. And yeah.
And when you mentioned right away, you said it's like a no budget movie, but I think like stuff like that really adds to the production value, like the bright colors. And I also, I like that you have a lot of squishy noises in the violence and the biting. I always think that adds to the gore in a movie.
Thank you.
Yeah. And that's a weird question, but do you have like, do you just go and like, does someone already have like these squishy sounds, or do you film squishy sounds? Like, how do you come about those?
I mean, I think some of the squishy sounds are just like from filming and like the actors like interacting with like this gross, slimy substances. And then I think the sound design also just recorded some stuff as well.
For anyone listening, I think that's a good idea for a documentary in itself. Someone can make a documentary about sound effects and showing people how they get squishy sounds and things like that. Can you talk about your creative partner, Benjamin Robinson, who you co-write a lot with?
Yeah, I mean, I've written pretty much everything I've ever done with him for like a long time. I think we connected when I was like 14, and then I'm 19 now, so it's like 5 years of, you know, working relationship. Yeah, I mean, I think we have a really nice back and forth. We both have a lot of, you know, same references, but also different, you know, him being older and, you know, having different life experiences and different films and all this different stuff that he's gone through. And then I think also me being younger, I think it's just like a nice collaboration, the two of us. And yeah, we work really well together.
Now, Lauren Last, who plays the lead, Sophie, I see that's her first IMDb credit anywhere. Anyway, how did you cast her and what made her perfect for the role?
So I didn't really know who to cast as a lead. And then she was living in Sydney, so like interstate at the time. And we had some mutual friends, and then she just sent in a self tape. And then, I was just like, that's kind of perfect for the role. And she also went to film school as well, which kind of made, you know, some of the film stuff really cool. And yeah, I just thought she was great.
What's it like for you to direct some of the action scenes and, you know, and fighting scenes?
I mean, it's pretty tough. I think it's like my least favorite part, especially, you know, like when all like the men in the warehouse and stuff, because like so many men, so many extras, so much to do, especially like when you're working on an intense schedule. I was really lucky, like a lot of those guys have like taken like stunt training courses and were able to kind of, you know, do their own kind of choreography as well. So it's kind of like another collaboration, which, yeah, it was good to have.
So you said you started getting the movies when you're 14. When you're 14 and like you tell your parents, like, I want to start making movies, what do they think of that?
They're actually really supportive. I went to a music school, so I was kind of already, you know, in like that artistic, you know, kind of area. And I'd always like wanted to write stuff. So yeah, I mean, I don't think it was a surprise. I mean, them like being like in the university and like research field was like kind of, you know, I'm very different from that, but yeah, they've been great.
And what was that experience like you for you though? Like what do you do? I know you're in school to music school, but you're 14 and like, I'm going to make a feature film. Like, do you just Google, I don't know, look on YouTube, like how to make a movie. Like how do you even get involved?
I just honestly, I messaged like a local production company for some work experience, and then just kind of went from there. They were lucky enough to say yes, so I got to sit in on like their offices while they made like this quite high budget like television show, and I got to watch that process. And then that's where I met like my DOP now, and then from then on Adelaide was like really small, so I was just able to keep getting onto like these sets. And then yeah, that was just like the best learning experience I could have had.
I mean, a lot of my friends have similar experience, saying like, yeah, working on a trauma movie or something and watching, you know, people do it is better than maybe spending a fortune and going to film school. Not that I want to talk to anyone out of going to film school. How about filming the movie within the movie? Because you do a good job making that look like an actual no budget movie that they're watching. You know, you want to keep it completely different from the rest of the movie.
Yeah, aesthetically, we actually shot that like on VHS tape. So like the DOP's friend does that kind of stuff a lot. So we just did that in like a park one afternoon. And then, yeah, it was a really cool experience like shooting on actual tape as well, because I've never done that before.
Yeah. How much of that other movie did you film? Like pretty much just what we see in the movie, or is there more stuff?
I mean, I'm sure we like shot more stuff, but it was probably just what you see in the movie is pretty much the best of what we did. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you put physical releases out of your films? Would there ever be like a physical release for T-Blockers?
Yeah, I can't say too much at the moment, but there is one this year, so stay tuned.
All right. Well, where would people like go to follow the movie or yourself to see in the future, like a possible that we can't talk about?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram. It's just like Alice Mary McKay, and then Dark Star Pictures is distributing the film in the US. They'll post about it, and then Umbrella Pictures in Australia is distributing it. Yeah, they've got a physical release coming out March 20th, which I can talk about. Yeah.
And you stay off the internet, but go and follow those pages.
Yeah.
Right. What are you working on currently? I know we're here talking about T-Blockers, but are you working on something currently?
Yeah, I have a film currently doing some festivals, which I premiered at South by Australia last year, which is kind of like a musical drive, like road trip, demon killing film, which is really fun. And then yeah, just some other projects as well.
When you said like the action scenes were like, I don't know if they're your least favorite or your hardest stuff to film, when you're putting a movie together, like what are the things that interest you? So what would be your favorite parts of making a film?
I mean, I really like shooting the like intimate kind of dialogue parts. You know, like the bedroom stuff was probably my favorite to shoot, because I think that's kind of like the heart of the story, and just like the building blocks for the rest of everything. Just, yeah, I think those are really beautiful moments. I really like working with actors in those kind of small spaces, and yeah.
And how about finding the music for the movie? Because you have like perfect, some great music choices in the film. You know, the one that you use in the trailer is also, you know, at the closing credits. And were these things music like that you knew of already, or like how did they come, you know, to be part of the movie?
Yeah, so I mean, I'd listened to the artists. We use like a song Chopsticks and Dead Men Don't Rape, which is one in the trailer as well. I just listened to her music. I think I found her on TikTok during COVID. She's quite big, I think, now. I just reached out to her on Instagram. And then like one of the montage songs is also just like one of my favorite Australian musicians, June Jones. And then, yeah, these were just people I could listen to. And then I didn't think they'd say yes, but they just did. So I was really lucky on that front.
Yeah, I mean, that's good advice. So the worst someone's going to say is no, so you might as well ask him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't hurt you if they say no. So T-Blockers coming out March 5th. Really fun movie. Also, it's got both best of both things. It's got a lot of social commentary, but it's also a movie that you can just watch and enjoy.
Yeah.
See some cool colors and squishy sounds, which I'm all about. All right. Well, thanks for doing this.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Yep. I'll talk to you again. Bye.
Thanks. Thanks, Neil.